a regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Welcome to another edition of Bearing Arms, Cam and Company. My name is Cam Edwards. Glad you're with me on the program today. We're going to be talking about Tuesday night's debate and the Second Amendment takeaways. You know, I'm glad that I at least offered that caveat when we were talking with Steve Gutowski from The Reload yesterday. I said, there's no guarantee that we're going to get a question on gun control. But both Steve and I thought that we would get a question, likely dealing with a ban on so-called assault weapons. You know, you had the attempt on Donald Trump's life just a few weeks ago. You had a very high-profile school shooting in Georgia last week. Kamala Harris has been out on the campaign trail talking about the need for a so-called assault weapons ban, although her campaign anyway, says she is no longer in favor of a mandatory buyback of so-called assault weapons. So it was an obvious topic of discussion, but it did not come up during the debate, with the exception of Lindsay Davis of ABC News, including Harris's shift on a quote-unquote buyback as one of the many policies that she has sort of flip-flopped on compared to 5 years ago. And Kamala Harris said that she would address every one of those issues in her response, and then did not talk at all about her evolving position on a gun ban and the scope of such a ban. So then the next time the topic came up was when Donald Trump said that Kamala Harris wants to take your guns away, right? And Harris actually took time during another question to say, well, I want to go back and address this, right? Tim Walz and I aren't going to take anybody's guns away. And then she just kind of moved on. So a couple of takeaways here. The first one, I don't think Kamala Harris really wants to talk about gun control during a debate. I think she wants to talk about it during her stump speeches, but she didn't bring it up on her own last night, right? There were a lot of awkward pivots for Kamala Harris, including the very first question, where Harris was again asked, are you better off? Are people better off now than they were 4 years ago? And she did not want to answer that question. Had a lot of weird, you know, again, leaps to talking about housing, talking about healthcare when the question was about something completely different. So there were a couple of areas where clearly Kamala had been coached, hit these talking points, right? Even if it doesn't really make sense to insert the talking points in that particular topic, go ahead and hit them. Gun control wasn't one of those, apparently, because she never brought it up on her own. Unless, again, it was to defend against Donald Trump's claim that she wants to take everybody's guns away. So I think this is something that the Trump campaign really needs to lean into. This is an area where Kamala Harris and Tim Walz are on the defensive. They don't really want to talk about their plans. They want to keep it at the sort of 50,000-foot level. Tim Walz on Twitter after the debate sort of reiterated Kamala Harris's stance, right? Oh, we're not taking anybody's guns away. We just want to prevent school shootings. Okay, well, how do you want to do that? You say that you want a ban on so-called assault weapons, but apparently you don't want to do anything with the 20-plus million firearms that are in the hands of lawful citizens. I mean, I'm fine with that. I think it's bad to go after semi-automatic firearms in general. I'm completely opposed to that. But I want to know why. What changed from 5 years ago? Because 5 years ago, Kamala Harris said it was a good idea to do a mandatory buyback. So if it's no longer a good idea, and again, I don't think it is, but I want to know why Kamala Harris no longer thinks it's a good idea. And she's not been able to explain. She's refused to explain her shift in position. That's something that the Trump campaign should exploit going forward. The Trump campaign also needs to do a much better job of going after Harris's actual record. You know, one of the things that I was pleased to see Donald Trump bringing up Kamala Harris's support for gun control during the debate, but it can't just be with a bumper sticker slogan like Kamala Harris wants to take everybody's guns away. She had a long history of animosity towards the right to keep and bear arms. And the Trump campaign needs to highlight that, right? You can go back to 2007. When she was the district attorney in San Francisco, and she co-signed a brief arguing in favor of Washington, D.C.'s ban on handguns, saying, well, the courts have never seen the Second Amendment as protecting an individual right She tried to curtail gun shows at the Cow Palace just outside of San Francisco when she was the DA, standing side by side with Gavin Newsom, who was then the mayor of San Francisco, and said the state property should not be used for merchants of death to sell their wares, accusing the gun show of facilitating illegal gun sales, even though there was no evidence of that at the time. She was the chief prosecutor in San Francisco. If there was evidence, she could have brought charges. But no, instead she decided to pontificate about gun sales, going through all of California's gun control laws, by the way, right? It was where those sales were taking place and she had a problem with on state property. I imagine she has a problem with it on private property too, but that was what she objected to in 2007. She defended California's failed micro-stamping law, which admittedly is maybe a little too inside baseball for non-gun owners who probably don't even know what micro-stamping is. So I don't know if I were the Trump campaign that I'd delve into the whole micro-stamping issue, although it's something that gun owners should be aware of. But as recently as 2022, after the Bruin decision was handed down, Kamala Harris called that decision, said it defies the Constitution and common sense, that the right to keep and bear arms actually protects the right to bear arms. Again, that's on tape, by the way. And that's something specific. That's something recent that shows Kamala Harris's hostility towards the right to keep arms. Because what's she talking about? The Bruin decision defined common sense in the Constitution. What the Bruin decision said is that the may issue laws that were only in place, by the way, in about 8 states, right? So the vast majority of the country already shall issue. The vast majority of the country, according to Kamala Harris, already had laws that defied common sense and the Constitution. All the Bruin decision said, ultimately, was that these licensing regimes that require somebody to prove good cause or a justifiable need before they can exercise a fundamental right is a violation of that fundamental right. That the state does not have the authority to deny you the exercise of that fundamental civil liberty because they don't like the reason why you want to carry. Now, I don't think that defies common sense. I think that is a common sense decision. I don't think that defies the Constitution. I think that is a constitutionally sound decision. It's also a decision, by the way, that is pretty popular among the American people. According to a Marquette Law School poll, they've asked this question repeatedly over the past 2 years. Every time they found majority support for Bruin. The last time they asked this question was just a few weeks ago. 69% of Americans approved of the Supreme Court's decision in Bruin. Kamala Harris doesn't. That, to me, sounds like something that the Trump campaign should be exploiting going forward. And again, it doesn't rely on hyperbole. It doesn't rely on vague, vacuous accusations. That's a fact, Jack, as Joe Biden would say, although probably with not that much energy.
That's a fact, Jack.
2 years ago, she said Bruin was wrong. I imagine if you asked her today, if she were willing to give a straight answer, she'd still tell you. Yeah, she thinks the Supreme Court got it wrong. That California had it right under a may issue system, even though it meant that in places like San Francisco, literally nobody could get a concealed carry permit. That in Los Angeles County, with, 10 million people close to it, you had 200 or so odd permits that were issued. That's the system that she favors. That's the system she wanted to see in place. It's also a system, by the way, that allows for graft and corruption. We saw that in Santa Clara County, where former Sheriff Lori Smith was found guilty in a civil trial of corruption. Several of her underlings facing felony charges for a pay-to-play scheme. You wanted to carry a license in Santa Clara County? Well, good luck, unless you were willing to open up your wallet or your pocketbook and write a big fat check to a campaign supporting the sheriff's reelection. Or maybe you could donate some iPods or some iPads or some other technological equipment to the sheriff's department. That might grease the wheels and get you a carry permit. But if you were just an average citizen who wanted to be able to protect themselves from an abusive ex, or in the case of an attorney who was getting death threats from a former client, you were out of luck. In many cases, they took your application, they stuck it in a drawer, they never acted on it at all. They didn't deny you, they didn't approve you, you were just left in limbo. That's what these may issue systems allow. We saw a similar licensing scandal in the New York Police Department several years ago. There was a tribal police chief in Southern California just sentenced this week to a slap on the wrist, by the way, for essentially selling badges and making VIPs members of the tribal police department so that they could carry a firearm. Not quite the same thing as the pay-to-play scheme in Santa Clara County, but pretty close to it. That's, again, the system that Kamala Harris favors. That's the one she supports. Or at least she did as of 2 years ago. Now, maybe she'd claim that she's changed her mind yet again. But it seems to me like this is something that the Trump campaign should be really pressing. Because I don't think that the Harris-Walz campaign really does want to talk about their plans for gun control. They want to use it, again, as a catchphrase in their stump speech, right? Oh, we're going to protect your kids. All you got to do is listen to us. We're going to ban assault weapons. We're going to stop these school shootings. And that's about as specific as they want to get. They don't want to talk about the fact that in California, they have a ban on so-called assault weapons. They have a red flag law. They have universal background checks, not only on firearms, but on ammunition. They also have a 10-day waiting period that is being challenged in the court. They have extremely restrictive concealed carry laws about where you can carry, about how you can get a license. Even after Bruin has come down, in some jurisdictions, you're paying over $1,000 to get a concealed carry permit. And you got to renew that at a cost of several hundred dollars every 2 years. And California last year led the nation in active shooter incidents, according to the FBI. In fact, twice as many active shooter incidents in California as the next closest state, Texas. There were 8 in California. There were 4 in Texas. With all of the gun control laws that Kamala Harris and Tim Walz want already in place in the state of California. So when they say, we're going to stop these things, okay, how? Because you've got to be talking about something more than what you're talking about now on the campaign trail. Because states like California have all of those laws in place, and that hasn't stopped these active shooter incidents. So I think it's incumbent on the Trump campaign to call out Harris and Walz for their lack of specificity, to remind voters again of Kamala Harris's long and extensive history of hostility towards our right to keep and bear arms. So what if she says she and Tim Walz are gun owners? Okay. As you and I both know, being a gun owner doesn't make you a Second Amendment advocate, right? There are a lot of gun owners. In fact, maybe most gun owners out there are not Second Amendment advocates. Doesn't mean they're anti-gun activists either. They're just gun owners. They're not doing anything to defend their rights. They're not doing anything to inhibit their rights. But there are some gun owners out there who, yeah, they are in favor of gun control. As long as it doesn't impact them, they're okay with gun bans. They're okay with restrictions. Well, it's just not going to matter to me one bit. They don't think about the consequences of some of these policies. And then I think you've got politicians like Kamala Harris who say they own a gun. I'd love to know more about that. Kind of wish that ABC News had asked, so what kind of gun do you own? When did you buy it? How often do you go to the range? Is it registered in D.C.? I'm not saying I don't believe Kamala Harris when she says she owns a gun. I'm just skeptical about that. And again, the lack of details and the lack of specificity doesn't do anything to alleviate my questions. So it was not a disastrous night for Donald Trump. It wasn't a great night for Donald Trump. I think Kamala Harris defied expectations. She did not defecate the bed when she was up there on stage. She held her own. But again, she didn't provide a lot of answers. And that's been one of the biggest knocks on Kamala Harris since she became the nominee after Joe Biden was shoved aside, right? What does she want to do? Doesn't have a lot of answers. Got a little specific when it came to things like housing. Offered a couple of specifics when it came to, you know, her economic agenda. Not much, but a little bit. I basically pointed the finger on immigration. Refused to have any accountability for the influx of illegal immigrants coming into this country. Refused to take any responsibility for the botched pullout in Afghanistan. But again, I thought it was fascinating that she really did not want to talk about gun control. This is something that, frankly, I kind of expected her to bring up, but she avoided that topic, which tells me it is a sensitive subject for Kamala Harris and Tim Walz and their campaign handlers, and one that, again, the Trump campaign should exploit going forward, not just with bumper sticker slogans. Bring the receipts. They're out there. And tell the American people, remind the American people of the decades-long animosity towards the right to keep and bear arms that Kamala Harris has brought to her career as a prosecutor, as the attorney general, as a senator, and as the vice president. All right, before we get to today's armed citizen story, our good deed of the day, and our recidivist report, let's talk about this for a second. Economists are warning us about massive tax hikes that could hit your IRA and 401k hard. With inflation rising, global uncertainty, it is no wonder that central banks and many Americans are turning to gold. Now, if you haven't thought about gold yet, now is the time. Trust Priority Gold to help you diversify your savings with gold and silver. Text GOLDEN to 800-405-GOLD for a free gold info guide and see if you qualify for free shipping and storage. Experts agree physical gold is one of the best ways to fortify your savings. Act now to get your portfolio working for you while the market is golden. Text GOLDEN to 800-405-GOLD to learn more. That is GOLDEN. Just text that word to 800-405-GOLD. Now let's turn our attention to today's armed citizen story, our good deed of the day. Actually, before we do that, I do want to just mention the other thing. I talked about what the Trump campaign can do, but there's something that we can do as well. I ran across this headline. This is from The Independent, but I've seen others like this in the wake of the debate. Kamala Harris reminded voters she owns a gun during the debate. Here's her stance on the Second Amendment. And then they, again, completely leave out her stances on the Second Amendment, like her defense of D.C.'s handgun ban, her attempt to shut down gun stores or gun shows at the Cow Palace, her opposition to the Bruin decision. None of that's included in The Independent story. So while it is incumbent on the Trump campaign to spread the word about Kamala Harris's long history of attacking our right to keep and bear arms, it's also up to us to get the word out there, because the press isn't going to do it. ABC News didn't do it. The Independent isn't going to do it. The Washington Post ran a story about their explainer of Harris's positions on guns and crime and what they left out. They didn't even talk about Harris's evolving views on so-called assault weapons. They just didn't even cover that. So the media is not going to tell this story. They're not going to bring these facts to light. I don't even know if the Trump campaign is going to do it, quite honestly. So ultimately, it is up to us to spread the word. And of course, we're going to be doing that at Bearing Arms. But you need to be talking to your friends, to your neighbors, to your fellow gun owners. And again, bring the receipts. The truth is out there. And we have to make sure that it sees the light of day and it's not just a smothered instead of covered by the press. All right, now moving on to our armed citizen story, our good deed of the day, and our recidivist report. We'll start there with a case out of Salt Lake City. Man with a long criminal history accused of breaking into Salt Lake apartments at gunpoint. Not just a long criminal history, but a recent criminal history as well, according to KSL. 44-year-old Justin Young booked into the Salt Lake County Jail on Tuesday for investigation of 7 counts of aggravated burglary, 2 counts of aggravated kidnapping, 1 count of aggravated assault, and 2 counts of theft and burglary. Happened last week, September the 4th. The Young allegedly entered an apartment by forcibly breaking through the front door and then opening multiple doors and closets as if he were looking for something or someone. He found a loaded shotgun, and he took it, and then he left. Went to his second apartment, kicked down the door, entered the apartment with the stolen shotgun in hand. The person living inside told police that Young was yelling as he walked through the apartment. He left, kicked open the door to a third apartment. As he pointed the shotgun to one of the occupants, told him he would shoot him if he didn't allow him in one of the rooms, then held 2 of the occupants at gunpoint while he ordered them to go with him to a different floor. Broke into a fourth apartment on that different floor that was occupied by 2 people, screaming, "Where is she?" while holding the shotgun, according to an affidavit. He then also stole car keys from an apartment, found a vehicle in the complex's garage, ultimately ended up ramming through the door because he couldn't navigate through the parking garage exit doors. And as detectives were investigating all of these cases, they learned that Young had actually broken into a 5th apartment across the street in a different complex. That unit was unoccupied Investigators found Young about 12:30 Tuesday morning. They arrested him. Police said that he was looking for his wife on the night of the break. It's not the way to go about that at all. And according to KSL, Young has a criminal history in Utah dating back nearly 25 years, including 9 criminal cases involving theft and burglary charges filed against him just this year. But again, a decades-long criminal history in Utah. Apparently, don't know if we had some sweetheart plea deals. Don't know if there was just a break in this criminal activity. But yeah, somebody who probably should have been confined instead out on the streets and in a lot of strangers' apartments, according to law enforcement. Today's armed citizen story. From, let me just make sure, Tennessee. Just want to make sure I have the right state here. A sheriff in Tennessee, no charges in a fatal shooting after a home invasion in Sweetwater. And this was a scary situation. I mean, all of these defensive gun uses are. This was early last Thursday. Sheriff Tommy Jones in Monroe County says deputies were dispatched to a call of a home invasion about 6:30 Thursday morning. Deputies had actually been called out earlier that morning in reference to a man who was having a mental health issue. Man's family told deputies they were concerned because he had previously entered random homes. So about 6:38, Sheriff's Office says a deputy's dispatched to a home on Brunner Road because of a reported home invasion. Homeowner woke up to the sound of his dogs barking, and he noticed that there were lights on inside the home that should not have been on. So he went to investigate, and he found a stranger in his home. Now, the homeowner did not immediately shoot the suspect. He actually escorted the suspect out of the home at gunpoint. This is at this point, you know, like the vast majority of defensive gun uses. The trigger isn't pulled. The situation is de-escalating. Unfortunately, once the guy was outside, they were waiting for law enforcement to arrive. The homeowner says the man shoved him down to the ground, ran back inside the home, and locked the homeowner out. Again, homeowner just woke up, so he may have been in his, you know, PJs or his undies, didn't have his keys with him. So now the homeowner is outside. The stranger is inside. There are other occupants inside the home as well, and the door is locked. The sheriff said because of the other people in the home were being placed in danger, that's when the homeowner discharged his firearm, striking the man. Man continued through the home, exited out the rear of the home, and collapsed on the lawn. The homeowner actually rendered first aid to the home invasion suspect until first responders arrived, but the man later passed away from his injuries after he was taken to a local hospital. You know, again, this is a sad situation. The family had reported, hey, our family member's having these mental health issues. He's showing up in people's homes. Obviously, that had not been communicated to the homeowner, right? How do you tell the entire community, hey, if some stranger shows up in your home, he may not be dangerous. We're not really sure. Again, it's a tragic story. I wish that this individual had been able to get help before he did what his family feared he would do. Walk into somebody's home, unannounced, uninvited, and pose a threat to those inside. We'll keep our eyes open for any more details on this story. But again, the sheriff there in Monroe County, Tennessee, saying this was a case of self-defense and defense of others. Finally today, our good deed of the day, in the right place at the right time, willing and able to do the right thing. A group of neighbors in Charlotte, North Carolina, who came to the aid of several victims after a significant car crash. In fact, that car crash left one child dead, unfortunately. But there were some life-saving efforts that day. Monica Casper and her husband John were at home when they heard the crash. John actually ran out the door. He knows CPR, and he said the crash was brutal. He said it was a brutal scene. I wanted to attend to the worst. It looked like the mom. She was concussed, so I felt her pulse. I laid her back. I just wanted to keep her calm. He and other neighbors, you know, were there trying to render assistance until first responders arrived. 5 people taken to the hospital. One of them, a juvenile, did pass away. John Casper says it's a tragedy. You take a life that young, it is gut-wrenching. It is gut-wrenching, he said. Investigators haven't said what caused the crash, but neighbors say they believe one of the drivers had a medical emergency, which then caused the crash to happen. John Casper says he is concerned a little bit because the road that they live on, people do have a tendency to speed. He says they use it as a racing track. And he says that he hopes that leaders will take action. Drivers will do their part to slow down. Don't know if speed was a factor in this particular incident, but again, thanks to the efforts of John Casper and other neighbors, even though not every life was saved, what could have been a more tragic incident lessened, at least, by their life-saving actions. All right, that is going to do it for this edition of Bearing Arms Cam & Company. I want to thank you, as always, for being a part of the program. Would encourage you to check out BearingArms.com throughout the day. We're keeping you up to date on all the latest Second Amendment news and information from all across the nation. And we have a fantastic sale going on right now for our VIP and VIP Gold memberships. Take advantage of it today because it's not going to last long. 60% off your VIP or VIP Gold membership when you use the promo code FIGHT. So for less than the cost of a box of ammo, depending on what type of ammo you're talking about here, you can get a year's subscription, a year's membership to our VIP or VIP Gold program. It's going to give you exclusive content, ad-free experience, the ability to comment on stories. If you're a VIP Gold member, you'll get that across not just Bearing Arms, but across the Town Hall media family of websites. So Red State, Town Hall, Hot Air, PJ Media, Twitchy. You can take part in Ed Morrissey and I's VIP Gold Live Chat. It happens every Wednesday at 1:30 in the afternoon. Love to see you there. Love for you to be a part of this. Not only will you get some great benefits, but you'll also be supporting the independent pro-Second Amendment journalism that we're doing at Bearing Arms. And in this day and age of big tech censorship and the media bias that was on display last night, for example, your support is more important than ever before. So thank you again. Again, 60% off when you use the promo code FIGHT and get your VIP or VIP membership today. All right, we'll see you back here tomorrow. Thanks again for being a part of today's program. Until we speak again, be well, be safe, and be free.